Job 13:17. Hear diligently my speech. By the way, these are the words of Job. Hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your ears. Behold, now I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. Who is he that will plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost. Only do not two things unto me, then will I not hide myself from thee. Withdraw thine hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. Then call thou, and I will answer, or let me speak, and answer thou me. How many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and holdest me for thine enemy? Wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro? Wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? For thou writest bitter things against me, and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth. Thou puttest my feet also in thy stocks, and lookest narrowly into all my paths. Thou settest a print upon the heels of my feet, and he as a rotten thing consumeth as a garment that is moth-eaten. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, we're going to focus on a very specific subject tonight. Lord, this is some things that I'm going to cover. I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom above and beyond, I believe, the usual. I want to be very careful what I say. I would ask, Lord, that you would help, Lord, me to do this appropriately, and yet at the same time to address an issue, Lord, that the church body needs to consider, and, Lord, that our young men would need to help in. There's no doubt about this. Bless them, Lord, and help them to gain from the Scriptures the answer to some of the besetting problems of these years, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I contemplated doing something that would be very unusual for Blessed Hope Baptist Church on a Sunday night. On the teaching of the three subjects that I'm going to cover tonight, I contemplated dividing the congregation by gender. I literally contemplated taking the men out to the fellowship hall and teaching them about this, our young men also. But I don't believe it's just the young men that need taught about this. The ladies and young ladies need to be taught also concerning what I'm going to cover tonight. I just couldn't receive peace to do that, so I'm probably not going to go into near the specifics I would in a split session type situation, but I am going to very carefully and cautiously and with God's wisdom and grace talk about some things that need to be addressed. Parents, this will help you tonight. I promise you, if you listen to me, it'll help you to help your young men. And I want to address something that is a part of youth. You notice what Job wrote there in verse number 26, "For thou writest bitter things against me, and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth." In Psalm 25, verse number 7, David wrote this, "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake." And Job 20, verse 11, again, "His bones are full of the sin of his youth, which shall lie down with him in the dust." Then we have Psalm 119. We'll get to that in just a second. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" And what I want to cover tonight, our next tenet of biblical masculinity, is this. Young men must be taught that there are sins linked to youthfulness that will cause them great struggles. Let me say it again. Young men should be taught there are sins linked to youthfulness that will cause them great struggles. A lot of times you'll see, let me just help the church with again, saying things very generally. But I think if you listen to the Holy Spirit, it'll help you. I'll remember throughout the night, we have children here. I'll be very careful in what I say. A lot of times what I've noticed in our young people is you'll see an enthusiasm for Christ during those master's clubs years and the elementary years. You see a great excitement. You'll see God do some unusual things in some of our young men's lives and our young ladies' lives. You'll notice, I'm just going to say this, young men, you need to hear me tonight. You'll notice that a lot of times during the teenage years, the young ladies will, these spiritual aspects, not across the board, but in proportion, more amongst our young ladies than our young men, a lot of times this excitement and the depth of growth and the intimacy of their walk with Christ deepens during those years, and you'll see a lot of times that our young men go through struggles during their teenage years. I'm not giving you young men excuses. I'm talking plain with you. I'm telling you the facts as they are. part of the reason for that is because there is a certain set of sins that are linked to youthfulness that cause young men great struggles in their teenage years. Now, Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11, give the remedy for this. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so God understood that a young man would need to cleanse his ways. He understood that there would be sins of the youth, iniquities of the youth. And David understood this. Job understood this. David, by inspiration, wrote Psalm 119 and gave us a part of a formula that will help us. Preacher, there's things that I struggle with. There's a change that happens in our young men and our young ladies in their early junior high years. There's things all of a sudden that they're introduced to that they have not had to battle before, that they've not had to fight before. You know what? And folks, these things for many of our young people are at times overwhelming. I mean, disabilitating, crippling in their Christian life. They want to serve the Lord, and yet they fight these battles, the sins of the youth. A lot of times, they never get help. You know why? Because a preacher won't do what I'm going to do tonight and come up and talk to you plainly about it and help you a little bit about it. A lot of times, because they don't win victories in their teenage years, then the struggles continued into their 20s and their 30s, and it begins to affect their relationships and later on even sometimes their marriages. Now listen to me very carefully, folks. I want to help you tonight. I want to help you young men. You can live a victorious Christian life as a teenage young man. You can live a victorious Christian life as a 20-something young man. Wherewithal shall young man cleanse his ways? Well, the answer isn't, sorry, there's no hope for you. It's the instructions given by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Brother Ron Comfort said something while he was here, and boy, I took note of it. I thought it was good because I had been developing this, and I added this to my notes. He asked a question, one of those shotgun straight questions, and again, he was careful, and I appreciate the carefulness from which he presented it from the pulpit here. But he asked this question, and I'm going to phrase it carefully, but why did God create it such that young men and young women enter into reproductive maturity long before they are of an age to marry? You know, sometimes we want to just almost look up to heaven and say, God, you could have planned this differently. You could have set the timetable of our creation in such a way where we didn't have to fight these battles for these years. And he gave the right answer to that question. I'm going to show you the answer. It's found in 1 Thessalonians. Let me have you turn there. The why behind. Now, we don't always get an answer when we ask the why question to God. But sometimes God gives us an answer to our why questions. And I believe this portion of Scripture, he referred to it, just mentioned it, moved on in his message. But it helped me in the preparation of tonight's message. Why did God create it such that young men and young women enter into reproductive maturity long before they are of an age to marry? Notice 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Listen carefully, young people. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Now watch this. What he's going to address here, he's telling you there's not only a way to get victory over. Listen, you don't have to go backwards for 5, 6, 7 years in your Christian life just because the natural progress of physical maturity is going on in your body. He said, matter of fact, just the opposite is true. He said, I'm going to give you instruction to help you to know to walk and to please God and abound more and more. Listen, it shouldn't just be young ladies that take off strong for God during their teenage years. It ought to be young men that maintain that and be strong in their teenage years. Now, here's some answers for us. Verse 2, and you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God. Stop right there. Have you had anybody ever say, boy, I'm pray for him. I'm seeking the will of God. Preacher, I'd just really like to know what the will of God is. Well, God's going to tell you part of his will right here. Some of it is plain, black and white in the Scripture. Here it is. What's the will of God for a teenage young man, a teenage young lady? What's the will of God for our 20-somethings? What's the will of God for us as we enter into marriage? This is the will of God. Even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That every one of you, here it is, here's the answer to the question, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Here's the question tonight. Young men, are you possessing your vessel in sanctification and honor? Young ladies, are you possessing your vessel in sanctification and honor? And notice verse number 9, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. What we're finding is a lot of the sins of the flesh that are common amongst the unsaved are becoming common in the congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says that's not the way it ought to be. Notice this, verse 6. By the way, young ladies, this will help you in helping our young men and help our young men in helping you. That no man go beyond and what? Defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us into uncleanness, but unto holiness. Now, in that portion of Scripture, and you understand, all every man and woman in here that have some understanding of Scripture and the subject matter that I'm talking about, understand, I cannot go into an in-depth, word-by-word explanation of everything that we've just read. One of these days, I probably will meet with our young men. Hey, preacher, we pulled them out of the public school because of sex education. I don't believe in sex education in the Christian school either, but I believe in Bible enlightenment. I believe our young men need some weapons of warfare. I think that they need to learn they can live on the victory side in this area of their life. And so we're going to help them in that. And I'm going to give you parents the information tonight. I want you to go back through these scriptures, and I want you to look at them and study them. And I want you to help your young people. Come on now, adults. Those were tough years. That's a battlefield, isn't it? All right then. And so understand, things haven't changed. As a matter of fact, it's worse. In the farther we go towards complete paganism, it's worse because of the defrauding factor that's going on in our culture. Now, young ladies, let me just say this. There is a reason that the Bible gives you very explicit instruction concerning dressing modestly and how you act towards young men. Shamefacedness is a word we don't hear taught to our young ladies. It seems like there's a boldness in, I'm not saying our young ladies, I'm saying in this culture, there's a boldness among young ladies. They're flirtatious. They're overt. They're predators. All right, you young men hearing me? They're predators. You hear some pagan young man brag about, well, I got this and I did this or whatever. You know what? Whoop-de-doo. That's no big thing in this culture. I was told by, and again, I got to be so careful. I was told by a man this week. I didn't know this. I'm telling you, thank God. I appreciate the fact that I am simple in so many areas when it comes to, thank God, I don't want to know a lot of stuff. But you know where you go on Craigslist to go buy, you know, cars and go see what's for sale? Do you understand that Craigslist in this area has a section of their website where you can go to, and it is advertisement. Postings of people that want to get together for no other reason than to commit fornication. Craigslist. Now, folks, what I'm saying is this. We live in a pagan society. If you're going to one of these days walk to the marriage altar pure and clean, you're going to have to purpose to do it. You're going to have to activate and live in the energy of the scriptural instruction that's given to us in this matter. This whole idea, well, I just can't do anything, but it's a bunch of hogwash. You can have victory in this area of your life. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Do you know why God allowed you young people to come and enter into reproductive maturity long before you're at age to marry? This is why, that every one of you should know. You need to learn how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor, because if you don't learn it, it's going to chase you throughout your life. Okay? And you can get victory. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in you. Amen. And so the power of the Holy Spirit of God helping you can help you to do right in these areas of your life. Now, I want to share with you and give you some specific help. I don't want to just bring it up. I want to give you some specific help. So let me have you go over to Titus chapter number 2. And I want to address this issue and give you what I believe is the answer, the disciplines that you must learn and should learn during your youth as a young man that will help you to have consistent victory in this area of your Christian life. Titus chapter 2 is a very, very important chapter of the Bible, especially the opening verses that gives us a formula. Notice what it says in Titus chapter 2, verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." That word sound means healthy, healthy doctrine. "That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Let me just say this. We've got some young women, both unmarried and early married, that are good examples of the things that we just read. Thank God for you. I know you've got to go swim upstream. I know you've got to go opposite of everything that the culture's trying to teach you that a woman ought to be. I know that the feminist movement came in strong in the 70s, and the humanistic teachings that were attached to that has even infiltrated the church. It takes a brave, godly young lady to read the scriptures and says, "I'm going to be that. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the culture says. That's what I'm going to be for God." Now, the aged women are to teach the young women these things. Ladies, those of you that are older, you teach by example. It doesn't do one bit of good to say one thing and then do another, the opposite, in front of our young ladies. Aged men, it doesn't do us one bit of good to preach one thing to our young men and then we live an opposite life. So we teach by life, we teach by lip, which means that we give instruction and help to them, and so that's the plan here in Titus chapter 2. That means grandpa helps junior. That means mom and dad help junior. Dad helps junior. That means a little Susie, you know what, grandma helps her, and mama helps her, and a godly aunt helps her, and a Sunday school teacher helps her, a pastor's wife helps her, and they've got some godly examples that are pouring their lives into the young ladies. The young men, we need to be what we are. And now notice when I get down to verse 6, and then we're going to get in and at least introduce these things tonight. And we'll go as far as time allows, and then I may just pick it up next week. But notice the instruction. Since the study that we're doing is to young men and biblical masculinity, notice what God specifically says to the young men concerning what the aged men are to teach them. "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Now, preacher, it's a fact. We looked at the scriptures. We understand the writings. We understand that young men are and do need to be taught. There are sins linked to youthfulness that will cause them great struggle. Preacher, what's the answer? Let me give you the second point we're going to cover tonight. Young men should be taught by elder men the four masculine disciplines of Christian maturity. There are four masculine disciplines of Christian maturity that is taught in this portion of Scripture that if you will pursue them, if you will implement them into your life, into your character, they will give you victory in this area of your life. I didn't say they might give you victory. I said they will give you victory in this area of their life. Now, let me give them to you. Here they are. I'll give you all four of them, then we'll break them down quickly. Number one, disciplined thinking. Notice what it says here. The first thing that we're to teach young men is this. "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded." If you look up the word sober, it's talking about disciplined thinking. Number two, reputable living. Reputable living. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Reputable living. So you notice where we started? Is some of this stuff making sense to you, those of you who went through the Spiritual Warfare Conference? We're not going to put those things on our website, those Spiritual Warfare Conference sermons. If you want them, order them through the tape room. But I would encourage I'm going to tell you something, I'm aghast Some of you that are struggling so much missed it. You just missed it. You just, you know, you can't help people. You can't save people. I can save people from everything but themselves. If you want help, you got to show up and get help. You know, some of you a week from now be in my office over a struggle of your life that you could have gained victory on in our spiritual warfare conference. You know, what do you do? But get them and listen to them and understand. There's this whole idea. It's almost like defeatism. It's, well, just the way that everybody and just nobody can. What? That is not true. That's a pretty small God. No, we say that because we want to just appease our conscience. We are expected to live right. Disciplined thinking, reputable living. Here's the third one, pure convictions. Pure convictions will save you from so many things in your life. Blown around, double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. Some of you still are arguing with yourself, letting the devil talk you out of some basic things you should have settled a long time ago. Know what it says here? It says, in doctrine, your doctrine is important. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Here's the fourth one, excellent speech. Sound speech that cannot be contemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Now, let me just show this to you. Maybe it's because the guys are a little slower. But notice what it says the young women are to be sober, love their husbands, love their children, be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. You know what? That's a long list. Guys, they just come to us and say, you just need four things. Amen. The creator of the universe said, I know you, I made you, I know how you're wired. You need in your youth. You need to listen to elder men teach you and train you, and you need to develop in your life the four disciplines, four masculine disciplines of Christian maturity. Now, if you can develop these in your life, disciplined thinking, reputable living, pure convictions, and excellent speech, you know what? You're going to find out that the sins that are linked to youthfulness, you'll be able to have consistent victory in your life over those sins. Now, it starts, folks, with the mind. I'm not going to reteach this because I feel like Brother Smith did such a good job on it, but it starts right up here. Your preacher has preached just recently, not too long ago, on the power of Bible meditation. You know, that personalizing of the Scripture that Brother Smith went through, where you get into the Word of God and you're just not, listen, wherewithal shall young men cleanse by taking heed thereto? By taking heed thereto, according to that, you know what that means? Taking those Scriptures and making it theirs. By taking heed to it. By internalizing, by personalizing those Scriptures. And you have to understand, you are completely helpless if you are separated from this book. Listen, there's a reason that the devil works so hard in your youth to try to get you to the point where you'll stop reading your Bible. And I know this is just the same thing we've been teaching, and we're going to keep teaching it, but you know what, folks, listen to me. If you don't have the Word of God in your mind, and you don't understand the power of biblical meditation and spending times meditating on the Scripture, and you don't know how to cast down those strongholds, those imaginations, the thoughts that the imagination that rise up against. You don't know how to do that. Listen, we live in a pagan world. You're going to have to be in a car and you're going to have to go from point A and point B. You're going to see things at Walmart and people aren't decent anymore. And listen to me, you have got to learn that there is a battle that's going to go on in here, and you can win it, but you have to be sober minded. You have to be disciplined. God has made us in such a way that we can't think of two things at one time. You know what? You can pull down a wrong thought and you can replace it with a right thought. You can be disciplined in your thinking. And so that's the first Christian discipline. Masculine discipline of Christian maturity is disciplined thinking. Now listen, men. Elder men are to teach the younger men this. If we are undisciplined in this area of our mind, how in the world do we expect to raise young men that are disciplined in this area of their mind? And so we control. People get up in the morning, and you've heard me say this, with absolutely no plan of what to do with their thinking time. No plan on what to do with their thinking time. They jump in a car and head off, and you know what they think about? Whatever comes through the eye gates. You are in trouble. Disciplined. Discipline means that it's planned. It's scheduled. I mean, listen, if you had a disciplined schedule, a disciplined plan for the day, that means you have a list of things that you're going to do and places you're going to be, and you follow that, and because of that you accomplish things. But listen to me, what we do is we plan the day. We don't plan what our mind's going to be doing during the day. And so when the devil comes and he brings these wicked thoughts into your mind and he allows your eyes to see things, you can't help see things initially, but you don't have to look back and you don't have to lust after those things. And you can replace those thoughts and those images with the Word of God. I like what he said about Calvary. Man alive, that charged me up. I'm going to tell you something. If there's a wrong thought that comes in your mind, think about Calvary. Go back to communion time. Think about that broken body. Think about that shed blood. Then see the Savior on the cross. And he said that would, and I'm going to tell you something, it will chase away those things. It's a blessing, folks, the way that God made our minds, discipline thinking. But you have to discipline your thinking. You have to train yourself to think on purpose, daydreaming. This idea of just undisciplined. David said, vain thoughts do I hate. And he would catch himself with his mind just wandering purposely, not working on anything productive, not dwelling on something positive or something that would build him. And you know what? He would catch himself doing that, and he would be mad at himself and angry at himself. I hate vain thoughts. And he was upset at the fact that he'd allowed his mind to just, those times to be wasted. You know something, folks? There ought to be something, especially as young men, that you are thinking about all the time. That is something that you're planning to do or planning to build or planning to accomplish. And we're going to do more intense teaching in the next semester in our young men Bible class at our Christian school on this and helping them in this area of their life. Listen, folks, I have every day of my life, physical work, office work that I've got to do, visits I've got to do, but in between all of that, there is a resource that God's given me, a mind that God has given me. And you know what? I can get in my car and have a 20-minute trip to go make a visit, and I can sit there and just waste those 20 minutes that God has given me that I'll stand and answer to Him for how I use. Or I can have planned what I'm mentally going to work on. Some people say, Brother Jerry, where do you come up with all these things? You come up with them by disciplining your mind. You see, most of the planning of things that occur around here don't happen in my office with a pad of paper. It happens in the progress of life as I am systematically, on purpose, designing and thinking of the different things that need to be accomplished, praying for the people that are struggling and facing things. What I'm saying is there is a better way to live than just wandering around. You know, come on. That's not masculinity. Go out to the elementary learning center. And you know what the problem is in the elementary learning center? One of the problems, daydreaming. You know why? They're children. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a, I put away. And you know what? It doesn't bother me if I go to the elementary learning center and I catch somebody daydream. You know why? They're kids. I'll bring them back to reality, hope and get them back on their work. But you know, they're going to, it's just undisciplined immaturity. That's where they're at. But when I become a man, let me ask you something. Sir, you're 24, you're 25, you're 28. Are you still a child in this area of your life? You're 35, you're 30. Are you still a child? You haven't put away childish things. He doesn't just say put away childish. He lists them. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I'm appalled by the way I hear adults speak. I'm appalled by the undisciplined words that come out of God, supposedly godly Christian ladies. I'm appalled by, hey, when are you going to grow up? I mean, good night, you're 50, you're 60. Isn't it time to think right and therefore speak right? Isn't it time? Adult ladies, you might as well be in junior high. Come on now. Amen. It's just us here tonight. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's time. Listen, your children are being trained while you're in the driver's seat with your cell phone on your ear gossiping with some other woman. Your children are being trained. How can I bring these girls to Christian maturity when the person they're around the most is giving them grandmas, that the aged women likewise that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their... How do they teach them? By example. Sober, love their children, love their husband. Be just, listen, I'm so sick and tired of wives griping about their husband. You need to get on your knees and get right with God. Well, what about you? And every time you do it, you're training your daughter to be that kind of a wife. Obedient to their own husband, and the word of God, be not blasphemed. And so we have these things. Now, young men, listen. I'm all over the place right now. Let's get back in. I'm going to tell you what the ministry's become. Warming bottles and changing diapers. And I'm a little tired of it. There are so many more important, supernatural things that ought to be accomplished. And half the time, a preacher has to run. Brother Reiser's time is wasted running around a bunch of nonsense. Putting out little junior high fires here and there. What in the world? What in the world? Now listen, how in the world can we train these young men to be men unless we that are of age set the right kind of example for them? Disciplined thinking, reputable living. Now notice what else it says here. I'm just going to introduce them, then we'll shut her down tonight. Notice, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Notice this, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. You know what that is? Reputable living. In all things, a pattern of good work. That means, young men, in all things, if you're going to develop a masculine discipline, this masculine discipline of Christian maturity, that means in all things you show yourself a pattern of good works. There's this... cancer that's creeped into the minds of our Christian young people, that somehow, you know, they want to be church kids and they want to be saved, but they also want to kind of just have this little dark reputation thing going on. You know, they want to wear things that just borderline, just these things that are just enough to, in all things, pattern of good works, reputable living, abstain from the appearance of evil. Not just evil, the appearance of evil. Here is what's wrong, and here is what's right, and we've got a lot of people just going to want to live here a little bit. They lean this way a little, and then they lean this way a little, and then they're over here a little bit, and then when somebody goes, then they're back over here for a little bit, and then they're, what in the world? Grow up. Do right. Be a man. Be a man. You know what a Christian man does? In all things. Well, there's nothing really wrong. I know maybe there's not, but that's a little closer, and I think I'll just stay here. Thank you very much. Yeah, but I don't care if you see it or not. I think I'll just stay here. Thank you very much. Because in all things, I want to show a pattern of good works. I want to stay from not just evil, the appearance of evil. So I think I'll just stand clear over here. Thank you. You know why the preacher has the standards he had? Oh, because you're a preacher. No, because I'm trying to raise some young men around. You know why there's some lines I'm not going to cross, some areas that are sacred? You know why there's things that are built into my life as safeguards, and I'm not going to make exceptions for them? Because I'm trying to raise a group of young men that's got a preacher they can look at and say, you know what? There's no shadow. There's no doubt. There's no dabbling. He shows us a pattern of good works. He's not looking for this, how close can I get to the... No. And so that's a mark of maturity. And young ladies, that's what you want to look for. You go ahead and find this young man that's always over here dabbling around with stuff, kind of likes that reputation of being, you know, kind of worldly and all that stuff. What you ought to see when you see that is immaturity. That's right. Because that's what it is. Okay. And so reputable living, that means that you live without exception. You don't ever put yourself in a situation where your reputation is a suspect or could be attacked. I'm not saying people will not make total false accusations against you. I'm saying live in such a way so that when they do, nobody will believe it. Sometimes people just lie about you no matter how careful that you live, because there's always people that'll do that. But you know what? I found out this. You don't have to answer all of that. If you have developed a pattern of living, it speaks for itself. And when some heathen wants to make an accusation against you, somebody here and say, oh, yeah, right, okay, whatever. Okay? And so you want to make sure that you build that reputation of a clean life and a pure life and of doing good work, a pattern of good works. Young men, listen to me. One of the things that will protect you in this area of your life is go out and find opportunity to do good. You know, the area that I'm talking about here, these sins that are linked to youthfulness, most of the time that you're struggling with them, you're struggling in times of idleness. Unplanned time, isolated unplanned time, hanging out, doing nothing. Come on now. If you are busy doing good works, if you are busy filling your life up, young men need to be kept busy. Got to have something that they're doing. Got to have something they're working on. Have something that they're pouring their energies into. And so it starts in the mind. Sober, disciplined thinking. Sober-minded. Reputable living. Number three, pure convictions. Oh, my goodness sakes. Listen, folks, in doctrine, your doctrine is important. Well, preacher, you know what? My son goes to this church, and I know that they don't teach this right and this right and this right, but it's a pretty good church. No, it's not. It's a wicked church. It's teaching false doctrine, and it's undermining his chances of gaining victory in this area of his life. Amen. Amen. Don't back up on the importance of pure doctrine. Okay, are you listening to me? And you know what we believe is important. Our doctrine is important. There should not be any corruptness in our doctrine. There should be a sincerity in our doctrine, a seriousness in our doctrine. We ought to be sure that we're right. There's a man I'm praying for right now, and I don't go into too much detail. But I'm telling you what, folks. Every single area of his life that he's struggling right now stems to the fact that he is doctrinally wrong on a tenet of his belief in God, and it's undermining everything in his life, and he won't let go of it. If you have a wrong view of God, you're going to have a wrong view of everything. If you have a wrong view of God, you're going to have a wrong view of everything. You know what? Corrupt doctrine is going to corrupt every area of your life. And so until we win that victory, there's nothing we can do except just damage control in that man's life. Now listen, believe right. Settle in the scriptures. You know how this chapter opened, but speak those things that become sound doctrine. The word sound, healthy. When you teach accurate, you rightly divide the Bible, and you teach accurate Bible doctrine, there's a health that comes with it. A soundness of mind, a soundness of body that's connected with proper doctrine. And there is an unhealthiness, both emotionally and mentally and spiritually and even physically, that comes with false doctrine. That's why I'm not compromising. We're going to keep right on something. I'm not looking to join hands with people. Well, you know, they believe almost everything like they do. They just don't believe you're once saved, always saved. Well, you know what? They're not. Listen, I'm not partnering with them. That's kind of major. That's kind of important. That kind of speaks to the character of God. I've preached against it. I'm going to say it again, folks. But Calvinism is creeping into our independent fundamental Baptist movement, and it is bringing with it a corruption that is destroying the very hearts and souls of our Christian brothers and sisters. God help us. You start getting an unbiblical view of God. You start getting an unsound, unhealthy doctrine in your head. And you know what? It's going to affect this area of your life. So pure convictions, a pure belief system, pure doctrine. The last one, excellent speech. Now, I'm not going to take the time to teach on that. Maybe we'll hit a little bit next week. But folks, listen to me. It is so important that we speak according to the Scriptures. The Bible is very plain in the boundaries of what we are to say and what we are not to say. What we're to talk about, what we're not to talk about. And it's about time we let the God that provided us salvation also be the God of our mouth and our tongue and our words. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Brother Smith reminded us of that. And again, we have listened. Goodness sake, some of the things that I hear in this congregation of people and the unthoughtfulness and the foolishness and the silliness and the callousness and the hurtfulness of things that they just blurt out of their mouth. And I'm not talking about these kids. I'm talking about adult people. And then we wonder why these little girls struggle in this area. We got some younger ladies right now fighting, I believe, fighting a spiritual battle with gossip. You know why? Because grandma never beat it and mom won't beat it. and they're going to pass it down to their kids. Unless y'all decide you're going to get victory on it. That's one of them open doors you ought to just close. I want you to be respectful for your parents, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give them permission. You get fuss with me later, Mom and Dad. But would to God we had some spiritual young ladies that in their house would say, Mom, Dad, excuse me, I say this, I honor you, I obey you, I love you. But this is hurtful to me to hear you sitting and just talking about other people in the church. And the sad part about it, I'd have parents in this church want to punish a kid for saying something. I'm not saying about saying it in the wrong spirit. I'm not saying about being a smart aleck. I don't want to put teenage girls back there helping in the nursery so we can train them to serve so they can sit there and listen to three or four women sitting around gossiping. You are teaching them. You are training them. We're working like maniacs from the pulpits and the teaching opportunities. But you know what makes a huge impact in their lives? Not just what the preacher said, but what they see the women in our church do. Now, I mean this. I'm declaring that nursery a no-gossip zone. Matter of fact, let's just declare this property a no-gossip zone. Stop being drama mamas. I mean it. I mean, you just come up here and put your tongue on the altar. We'll open the door if we need to. Just roll it on out. Now, I mean it. It's a disgrace. There's ladies, adult ladies in this church. You know what? Right now, the Holy Spirit is bringing to your memory something you said in front of these young ladies, and you're mad about it, but what you ought to do is find that young lady as soon as church is over and say, I need to apologize to you. If we won't get right, how can I help these kids? If we don't set the right examples, how can we help these kids? Gentlemen, it's time for us to be pure. It's time for us to live holy. It's time for us to turn our eyes. You don't think that your teenage boy, when that billboard goes by, you don't think after he looks at that, he don't look at daddy? Come on now. It's time for us to set an example. It's time for us to fall in love with our wives again and be loyal to them and faithful to them and give our children that blessed gift of a stable home and a good a marriage relationship to be able to watch and pattern later on their life after. Time for us to get serious about something. Now, adults, one of the reasons, and I'm done, but one of the reasons that I pushed and wanted you to hear at this warfare conference is because some of you in your youth are still fighting the battles and the effects of the sins of your youth. And if you don't get those doors closed and get victory in those areas, you know what you're going to do if you're not careful? You're going to take those defeats and that defeatism mentality concerning that sin. And whether you do it overtly or not, subconsciously, you're passing it down to your young people, and they're going to spend a generation struggling over the same crazy thing. And it's just time. Good night. I'm not trying to play Holy Spirit tonight. I want him to tell you. I want him to apply this. You know, if you'll listen to him, you know. There's times we need to come to an altar and say, God in heaven, what am I doing? What am I being? What am I saying? What have I become? Begin to plead and ask the Holy Spirit to allow us to gain victories in these areas of our life. Man, we're working hard around here. We are. We've got a lot of good people pitching in and helping. Thank God for them. We're all flesh and we're all going to fail and we're all going to stumble. I get it. But these young people deserve to have a consistent pattern of godly living in the home and in the church and in the Sunday school class and in the Christian school and in every minister master's club, everywhere they go, they ought to be able to look up at some adults that take seriously the things that the Scripture has presented to us tonight. And if we don't take it serious, some of these young men are going to continue to struggle. And these young ladies are going to continue to struggle in areas that they ought to be able to learn how to have victory by our example. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit of God, thank you for allowing us this time tonight. And Lord, these are important things. Oh God, these are important things. Lord, I pray that we'd take what's been preached tonight, not just now letting you deal with our hearts, but Lord, in the days and weeks ahead, oh, may we take it seriously. May our young men say, you know what? Yes, there's a battle going on that I didn't know I'd have to fight. But thank God There are answers. Thank God for the Scriptures. Thank God for these four masculine disciplines of Christian maturity. And may they be challenged to grow and develop these areas as strongholds for God in their life, and giving them victory, Lord, day by day in this wicked world. May our young ladies and our young men be very careful not to defraud one another. May they be very careful not to excite or to energize things in each other's lives that cannot be rightfully and scripturally satisfied. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be very careful in our interaction amongst each other and all of the instruction that the Scripture presents us in this area. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would take what we've learned and help us with it tonight.